Today is Septuagesima Sunday. There are household items available in the conference room. If you're interested in any of them, you may take them home today and send or bring the donation for the item during the week. Please include a note describing the item you decided to take. So you probably noticed on the way in, there's a table full of these things. And some of them are quite good. It's just a matter of it's something you need. So they are available. You may take them home and just send us a donation during the week with a note explaining it. This week we have the commemoration of St. Simeon, which is also the feast of St. Bernadette of Subaru. And Saturday is the feast of the chair of St. Peter, emphasizing the unity we all have through St. Peter, the Vicar of Christ. It's also the feast of St. Margaret of Cortona, a great penitent. The epistle for this Mass is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Corinthians, the first epistle. Brethren, do you not know that those who run in a race all indeed run, but one receives the prize? So run as to obtain it. And everyone in a contest abstains from all things, and they indeed to receive a perishable crown, but we an imperishable. I therefore so run, as not without a purpose. I so fight, as not beating the air. But I chastise my body and bring it into subjection, lest perhaps after preaching to others, I myself should be rejected. For I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized in Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock which followed them, and the rock was Christ. Yet with most of them, God was not well pleased. Please stand for the Gospel. The Holy Gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 to 6. At that time, Jesus spoke to his disciples this parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a householder who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. And having agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And about the third hour, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace idle. And he said to them, "Go you also into my vineyard, and I will give you whatever is just." So they went. And again he went out about the sixth and about the ninth hour and did as before. But about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing about, and he said to them, "Why do you stand here all day idle?" And they said to him, "Because no man has hired us." He said to them, "Go you also into my vineyard." And when evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to his steward, "Call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning from the last even to the first." Now when they of the 11th hour came, they received each a denarius. And when the first in their turn came, they thought that they would receive more, but they also received each his denarius. And on receiving it, they began to murmur against the householder, saying, "These last have worked a single hour, and thou hast put them on a level with us, who have borne the burden of the day's heat." But answering one of them, he said, "Friend, I do thee no injustice. Didst thou not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is thine and go. I choose to give to this last, even as to thee. Have I not a right to do what I choose? Or art thou envious, because I am generous? Even so, the last shall be first, and the first last. For many are called, but few are chosen. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. We, brethren, are beginning an entirely new season in the liturgical year, and so we have had a long and enjoyed a long time after the Epiphany, absorbing all of the mysteries of the Incarnation. But now we are on the road to the Passion and the glory of the Resurrection. This season is the transition to Lent. We have 3 Sundays to get ready. We have as our retreat master, the Holy Ghost, but particularly through St. Paul. He is going to be our retreat master during these days. He is the one that gives us the epistles for each of these Sundays. And what are we on retreat for? We are getting ready for Lent. We all know what Lent is. It is the time of struggle. We have to struggle with doing penance. So we'll leave that part for what's coming. We have to talk about what is now. Now is we must be aware of what the things are that we're struggling against. So this is the season to examine our conscience, to remember who and what we are. Now, the season it is not really abrupt, it is somewhat gentle, but still something has changed. And we see right away the color has changed. We are in a violet penitential color. We do not have the organ, we do not have flowers. And in particular, the sign of this season is we do not have the Alleluia. The spiritual writers tell us that the Alleluia, praise to Yahweh, praise to God, is reserved for the elect in heaven. And that is not our case. Each of these Sundays is going to concentrate on a particular thing. This Sunday, for example, is going to concentrate on original sin. Next Sunday, in the person of Adam, an original sin. Next Sunday, actual sin and Noah. The following Sunday, quinquagesima, Abraham and the power of faith. Although St. Paul tells us, as our good retreat master, that faith still needs charity. Now you may wonder, if you're thinking and you've looked at your missal, where is this priest coming up with original sin? I don't hear it mentioned anywhere in the Mass text. Well, that is because the sacred liturgy is bigger than the Mass. The Mass actually fits into the liturgical day, the office, the divine office. And Mass follows the office, the hour of terse. From the divine office for this season, we learn this. We are given the whole story of Adam, the creation, his fall. That's the original sin. So we learn from that. That's where this is coming from. And by the way, this is, as, of course, the Bible is God's book. So it's beautiful to see him, the great artist at work in his writing, to see him working through the liturgy in the church. Because you see, he has now, as an overture to a symphony, he has given us already the themes for this whole season, which are going to culminate at the high point at the Easter Vigil. Because all of the texts that are being read, the creation, right from the beginning of Genesis, that is all going to be brought back to us at the Easter Vigil. If you've been there, you know the first reading is the entire creation story. It's told this week, but there it's given at that moment. So the overture is already laying out the groundwork. Well, we know the story of Adam and Eve. And the punchline, of course, is that they were thrown out of the garden. And so Septuagesima, right off the bat, that's what happens to us. The garden was where they spoke with God. They could make the praise to Yahweh. Not anymore. They're thrown out of the garden. We, because of original sin, we are thrown out with them. We cannot speak the praise of Yahweh. We cannot say the Alleluia. Not until Easter, when God, our Lord, fixes everything. So that's what Septuagesima is about. So we have to take a look in an examination of conscience. We have to take a look at ourselves, and so we're going to do that. And we do, and that is one of the things that everyone really likes, the examination of conscience that we have, because they disappear like hotcakes. Everyone just comes in and takes one, and they use it for their preparation for going to confession. So we'll take a look at that in a second, but I do want to make a little point. Well, this examination of conscience is, I guess in a way, mostly for parents today. A couple of little points for parents. Do you know that you baffle the modernists? Because if you just take a look at our group, which is very typical of traditional groups, I don't know if it's exactly the same, but the modernists who mix up the natural and supernatural, they don't know any distinction. Therefore, in effect, they deny the supernatural, and so they deny miracles, etc. So when they go about their work and their reforms, they have no understanding about the supernatural. So when they made their attempts to undo the faith that God has given us, and his liturgy and his sacrifice, they underestimated the power of God, because they felt they will make the changes, and then all the people of 50 years ago, as they age and die off, that will be the end of the traditional Latin Mass. How wrong they were. A third of this group is probably under 18 years old. Some may be here by force. But the faith is going on. And it baffles the modernists. They have no concept of the supernatural. And they speak about it. And they have to figure out, because they are very much aware of us, they know that people gather in little garages. Do you know that? Do they actually talk about the people that get together in little garage settings? They know us down to the detail. You know how well they know us? They know how young the traditional movement is, which is really just a Catholic church. They can't understand it because they have no supernatural sense. So you know why? You want to hear the latest reason why young people go to the traditional Mass at all? You ready for this one? It's a fad. It is a fashion. Need we say anything else about that? It's absurd. But that's all they can come up with. They have no sense of the supernatural. Now, for the parents, when you are, take every opportunity to help your children, teach them how to become adults, everything, and especially take example in the faith. For example, we had catechism yesterday. I'm hoping that the parents took the words seriously. They were directed to the children, but to the children, tell your parents what you heard today in the car ride home. I hope the parents picked up on what I said. So they asked the children, repeat what Father told you today. It was impressive to me as a young person to see an ad way long time ago, but you can see how much it affected. I was not an adult. And it was a little scene of a father walking with his little three-year-old boy into a very beautiful setting in the woods, and you could see as they did it very effectively in the ad, showing the child, you know, watching the father as the father walked. He would copy the gait of the father. He would, you know, as he tilted his head, and you can see this, by the way, if you're very observant, you can see children, you can see that they actually walk as their parents doing things, talk like them. And all this, and they show all these things, and the father sits down, puts in the grass, and he has his back against the tree to support him, and the child does the same thing. And then the father picks out of his pocket a pack of cigarettes, and he takes one and lights it, and he puts the pack down. And then you see the child, seeing the father, pick up the pack of cigarettes, and the ad ends, and it's American Cancer Society or something. You see the power? That power is that of you parents. It is so great. God has entrusted you with souls to get to heaven. Now, this is the preface to our examination of conscience. This is an examination for everybody, but mostly for the parents because, and maybe I'm talking only to parents of newborn babies. It may be too late for everyone else. Because we are going to go on the attack. We are going to exorcise some demons. Demons that we have all been affected by. Demons that we ourselves have affected others with. And so we're going to plead, maybe with parents just of newborns, to resolve today to help their children get to heaven. If anyone else can do something, that's fine. What we're going to be talking about is an addiction. An addiction to a style of thinking, of acting, that is destroying our young people. And maybe has destroyed some of us, unless we reject it. Now, we have looked and heard people talk about addictions. What are addictions? They are things that maybe chemically do it to us, but somehow they change our personality. They change our mood. If we are not getting that thing we're addicted to, we become upset. We become angry. We hurt people physically, emotionally, spiritually. We can go through a whole list of such things. You probably are thinking, what is he talking about? Are we talking about alcoholism, drug abuse, whatever? We're going to talk about something else. We've heard a lot about it, but we're talking about it today in a different sense, this sense. We're talking about athletics. You know we're in trouble when a Catholic paper says in the title of the of its issue, "Is there room in the Olympics for God?" Now, unfortunately, I can see right now, we can't go into the Epistle of St. Paul. We cannot go into the Gospel. We're taking the theme of the season more. But you can see St. Paul talking about the Olympics in the Epistle. And how timely. We're in the middle of the Olympics. Has anyone taken 1 second to watch anything about the Olympics or hear anything about the Olympics? I hope not. Try not doing that and find out if you're addicted. The Olympics are the origin of, if you know already, is the pagan cult worship of the false gods of Greece. They were performed by men only. We won't go into all of that. If you know anything, you already know what I mean. It was already in pagan times thought demeaning to women to participate. And in pagan times, women were always depicted in a very modest way with clothing and things. We have that way past us. We're beyond that. And the Olympics were outlawed when Christianity quickly came out of the catacombs. Do you know that? Fourth century outlawed. But what happened? The modern Olympics, the great moment for us all, began in 1896. And do you know about the same time that people, it's recorded, people were already thinking of how to go about addicting you. This is from about the year 1903, but elements of it before that. In order to distract people who may be too troublesome, you know, that's Catholics, they're troublesome, from discussions of questions of the political, we are now putting forward what we allege to be new questions in order that the masses themselves may not guess what they are about. We further distract them with amusements, games, pastimes, passions, people's palaces. Soon we shall begin through the press to propose competitions in art, in sport, in all kinds. These interests will finally distract their minds from questions in which we should find ourselves compelled to oppose them. Growing more and more unaccustomed to reflect and form any opinions of their own, people will begin to talk in the same tone as we, because we alone shall be offering them new directions for thought, of course, through such persons as will not be suspected of solidarity with us. That last line, that's parents. We've heard over and over again, these are games. There's no need for any organization. Everyone as a child knows how to play a game. We're exasperated because this needs a whole conference. We're reduced to a few minutes. Now, besides this nefarious, diabolical reason for it, this is an historical document. We know that this is a billion-dollar industry. We know, and probably all of us have been affected by it. We are exercising our own demons. We've been on all sides of it. We have perpetrated the same things that we condemn, unfortunately. We have hurt people physically, emotionally, probably spiritually. Have you? Examination of conscience. Have you? Thinking of saying something in confession. We look at the Ten Commandments. We have them here in front of us. We look at the virtues, the theological, the moral cardinal virtues. And you know you can go, which I don't have time to do, but maybe if you make an examination of conscience, you can do it. Maybe you can do it. And you can see how sports works against every one of the commandments, works against every one of the virtues. Think about it. How many of these things are done on holy days of obligation? And they pull us and our children away. Good Friday, you see the absurdity of a metropolitan bishop saying, please don't open the season up on Good Friday. He is, what is the result of that? 100,000 people show up. Talking about the voice of the church today, because the church has been sold out by its own leaders, who will abandon the flock on a weekend because his ticket has been paid for him to go to a sports event in another part of the country. Is that a shepherd of the flock? Or they run in races, bishops running in races. I've seen them playing in golf tournaments. And the worst of all, papal installations, as they call it, being postponed for some soccer game. Is this absurd? The vicar of Christ on earth. So we've been betrayed because they have been bought. Now, I'm not saying those people are malicious. Maybe some of them are. But just as we've been spoon-fed this from childhood. Even our own parents, unfortunately, thought they were doing something good. Here, take the little boy over to organized sports. Let the addiction begin. If you can pull them out, do so. If you can prevent ever having it happen, do so. Again, I'll just take one thing. Any one of these, you take anger, for example, capital sin. How much of this sport results in anger? How many people's personality is changed by, that's a sign of an addiction. Very, very, easygoing type person gets hit in some activity, and all of a sudden, there's the anger, and now he's a good player. He knows how to hit. What about the biggest thing we could talk about? What about, by the way, just on that, not to let anger go by yet, is that Christian? Is that Christian? We have Jesus telling us, learn from me, I am meek and humble of heart. Is sport making us meek and humble of heart? I don't think so. But the biggest one here, because sport, it is geared for vanity, it is geared for sexuality, sensuality. Is that the purity that Our Lady of Fatima told us? Most people go to hell because of sins of impurity. Are sports helping us get to heaven? Are we praising the body, loving the body through sports? That seems to be the case here. And now, unlike the pagans, we've gone beyond the pagans. Now women are part of it. And we're not going to go through how unnatural that is for women. We won't. If you know anything about it, you know what happens to women as a result of intense training. They lose being a woman in that sense. When I say the word unnatural, see, things against nature are also immoral. That means it is going against the way God created the nature of us. I've heard people, thinking one person, my child is ranked 28th in the world in this sport. Olympic material. Well, that never happened. Of course, this person, subsequent to the story, had to get out because they were permanently damaged by their training. Thanks, parents. But the parent got to say to me, ranked 28th, which is far below first, second, or third. So I don't want any parent ever to say to me, my child's Olympic material. Don't ever say it. I've never heard a parent say to me, ever, my child is saint's material. So, oh, by the way, here's another one. mistakenly thought, I thought this up. No, just Google it, and it's right there. Other people are thinking the same way. Here's the title of it. Sports, the opiate of the people, of the masses. Paraphrase of, you know, the famous Karl Marx thing. Religion is the opiate of the people. Way wrong, sorry. Sports is the opiate of the people, the drug, and we're going to say it, that the devil uses to keep them all dumbed down, never thinking about the important things of life, only about the latest score, or who should be traded. Oh, yeah, that's another one. Fantasy football. I get to pick my own team, and we're not going to go in. Enough has been said about the coaches thing. How parents will turn their little child over at whatever age to some absurd idiot who's going to abuse them with foul language and everything. Oh, because we're going to make them good. You know, six-year-old children. So, please everyone, especially parents, take a, as they say, long, hard look at whether you have the addiction, and if you are being that dealer of the drug to others, especially your own children. The answer is not there. The answer is right here at the Mass. Don't forget, St. Paul gives us the warning. All the Old Testament people passed through the same cloud, through the same sea and everything, all received the same sacraments and everything. But in the end, God was not well pleased. It has to be a change of heart. Septuagesima season is that time. Analyze ourselves so when Lent does come, we are ready to fight, as St. Paul says, not for some bronze, gold, or silver, but for heaven, which can never be taken away. So we receive our Lord today in Holy Communion. God, I want to go to heaven. I will do everything it takes to get there. May God bless you.